This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
it is the Friday before. Can we strike up the band?
This used to be one of my favorite shows, Jeff, back in the simpler times.
That's funny you should mention that, because on this Friday, the Friday before the first game,
yep,
for the last few years, we have had the mighty sound of the South in studio. And it is a blast in every sense of the word.
Yes.
To do it.
Even last year we got aggressive. We're like, they asked,
how many
like,
can we
yeah,
fit
we like,
in?
We're like, bring as many as you want, because you can't.
And Will Plank, of course, is the director of athletic bands for the Mighty Sound of the South. And I had a column on them earlier this week. Let's be honest. I make no apologies.
You're a band guy.
I like bands. I like bands. I like the festive tone that they strike.
Yes.
And I think there are unsung heroes out there sweating away in their uniforms.
And boy, do they usually sweat this week.
Yeah. And so I did a column on the Mighty Sound of the South will be there at the game Saturday. It will be less mighty in number.
Yeah.
Typically, 205 last year, I think this is what Will told me, 205 members. This year, they have to be 12 feet apart, of course, right? And they're not letting people cluster, like the trombones aren't clustering all together and then the tuba section clustering together, because they don't live together necessarily.
Right.
So they're all 12 feet apart, even though it's funny, as soon as this happened, they commissioned studies, Band Geeks did, to commission studies on, like, how far the particles fly. Right? And the truth is, as long as you cover the end of the instrument, you know how like tubas,
yes,
often have a cover and then a letter,
yep,
on it, right?
Yep.
You can do that for every instrument. And indeed they have. They've gotten covers for every single instrument. And then astonishingly, all the instrumentalists are going to be wearing masks. Now, you might say, what the hell? How are they going to play their instrument?
Yes, I don't might say that.
How do you play a trumpet?
I actually say that.
And wear a mask. Here's what you do. You take your little, your medical mask, your typical surgical mask.
Yeah.
You bring it home. You figure out where your mouth lines up to the surgical mask.
Yeah.
You take out a pair of scissors.
And then you cut.
And you cut a slit for the mouthpiece.
Right.
And you shove that baby through there. Now, they are having a... They have specially designed band masks they have made, and they're supposed to be arriving... I think they're supposed to have arrived yesterday. And Will, I said, well, what are they like? He said, well, you know, they're different designs. Some are like an underwear zipper. Yeah, how... Whereas you've got not a zip, in other words, like the crease, what do you call that? The whatever in the underwear, like where it folds over, kind of thing, and you just put your mouthpiece through that, as it were.
Crazy,
right? Mm-hmm. The flute one, you actually stick the whole flute into the. It has a pocket that you stick the flute. Mm-hmm. So here's the point. But the most astonishing thing, I was talking to a trombonist for this column. You can read the column. You got to be a subscriber. If you're not subscribing now to the Daily Memphian, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. Subscribe to the Daily Memphian, and you can read all this. But anyway, so I was talking to a trombonist, and you know how instruments have something called a spit valve?
Yes.
Are you familiar with the spit valve?
Particularly the brass.
Well, if you blow into an instrument, you get saliva just naturally collects in your instrument, and at some point, if it was just to stay in there, it would be a gurgling sound, right? And so... In various places in the tubing, there's a little valve, and you press down the valve, it opens up a hole, you blow, and spit comes flying out, okay? And at least in my day, you just blow that spit right there and wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. Not
anymore.
Well, how
do you think spit goes with COVID? Not good.
Not great. Seems to be a big problem.
So this Zach, who is the trombonist I talked to, he told me that they each have to bring a little Tupperware container with a puppy pad in the bottom, like an absorbent material in the bottom.
Yeah.
And when they blow out their spit, they have to blow their spit into this Tupperware container and then schlep their spit home and clean it up afterwards. So you out there who are complaining about the quote-unquote inconvenience of wearing masks. Mm-hmm. I don't like wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to wear a mask? I'm already 12 feet apart. You've got all the members of the Mighty Sound of the South are wearing masks as they play their instruments, covering their nose, by the way. That's why they have to still wear a mask, is for the... And so they're covering their nose. They're trying to play a damp tuba through a mask, collecting their spit, sitting there. They're not allowed to go on the... They're like an elaborate pep band kind of thing. Like, they're not allowed to go on the field for the halftime show. And all so they can
or
be there...
Or to have the team run through.
To supply festivities for you... And are they complaining about it? Oh, no, they are not. They're thrilled to have the chance to play music. And so I think it puts in stark contrast with some of the whiners out there who can't wear a mask because, oh, it's hard to breathe. Try playing a tuba through that damn mask. Come back and tell me how hard it is to breathe. They're my heroes. They're my heroes, the Mighty Sound of the South. And indeed, it harkens back to the roots of the Mighty Sound of the South. Are you familiar with the roots of the Mighty Sound of the South?
I am not.
Oh, well. The Mighty Sound of the South. Why do you think it's named the Mighty Sound of the South?
Because that feels like what almost every single marching band.
I don't think anyone has that specific name. There's the Million Dollar Band.
Right,
and
but it's like the Mighty Sound.
There's something, yes. Well,
the Pride of the South.
The Pride of the Southland, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The Mighty Sound of the South stems back, gather around the fire, ladies and boys and girls. Let me tell you a story from deep in the history of the University of Memphis, then known as Memphis State. Well, in 1962-1963, the Memphis basketball was putting together a fine season. And the Memphis basketball team was invited to play. And that season ended in the National Invitational Tournament in Madison Square Garden. So away they headed. Well, Dr. Ferguson, I think he was a doctor, was the director of the bands. And he came up with the idea of bringing a pep band along with the team to play in Madison's Square Garden. There had never before been a pep band to play with a basketball team at Madison Square Garden. So he actually had to get permission for this. Well, he did. They said, sure, you're from Memphis. You must make good music. Come on up. So 19 intrepid members of the band boarded a bus and headed on up. It was just a wee number, just 19. And so, as sort of a tongue-in-cheek reference,
got it. It's cheeky.
On a bed sheet, put the name The Mighty Sound of the South as a joke. That joke turned into reality because it's not the size of the band in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the band. And this Saturday, when you're going to have, once again, a sorely diminished group of just 44, will they produce a Mighty Sound of the South? Of course they will produce a Mighty Sound of the South. It is their history, it is their legacy, and it is their future. The Mighty Sound of the South will be there. They also, by the way, haven't rehearsed because they weren't allowed.
It's just natural. Listen, it's called improv.
They weren't allowed to rehearse in person until last week. And even then, the group of 44 has never rehearsed together. They're thinking of putting individual microphones on each instrument. They're coming. The microphones arrive today.
Yeah.
So they're not going to actually be able to test them.
It's a really quick turnaround.
Until tomorrow, which is the first time they're going to be in the Liberty Bowl. So there you go. How about that?
That's a great story.
Didn't mean to start with all that today, but we are all trying to figure it out. We are all trying to make it happen in this new universe, and that includes the Mighty Sound of the South. You can read all about it in the column that I wrote, not in today's Daily Memphian. It's kind of up. The Daily Memphian exists all the time now that it's virtual.
But exactly.
It was in yesterday's.
It's a living, breathing
yesterday's
document.
Yesterday's Daily Memphian. Today on the radio program, we got Jason Smith coming up next. After Jason Smith, Chris Harrington will join us. And then it is Friday, and so we will have Fish on Friday. I will tell you, there is a hell of a lot to talk about today. I have a hell of a lot to talk about today.
Gather around, y'all.
So we will try to get to it. Among the things, a Memphis football player has pushed a Hall of Famer right off of an NFL roster. You have a very important game tonight. Dabo Sweeney has weighed in on college football playoffs. The New England Patriots have shockingly named a starter at
what
quarterback?
Let me guess. It's Brian Hoyer.
We've got developments in the Taco Bell menu, of course.
Do we have to?
A superhero has COVID, the Tennessee Titans have signed another Memphis football player. All of that among the things that we have to get to today, but we'll start with what happened last night, which was, at long last, Ja Morant was named Rookie of the Year. We knew it would happen, of course. It was inevitable that it would happen. And indeed, it would have happened last week. They were all poised to release the news that Ja Morant was officially Rookie of the Year. But that's when the actual day that the protests happened was supposed to be the day that it was going to be the Rookie of the Year. And so obviously they weren't going to do that. Ja, among others, believes in the cause. And so he wasn't going to, you don't want to diminish Ja and his award by doing it at a time when everyone is thinking about someone else. And you don't want to take the spotlight off the other thing by giving Ja his award. Ja wouldn't have won and accepted it at that moment. So the funny thing is he's actually had the trophy for about a week. And if you saw the Mike Miller photo that Mike posted a photo. He had his Rookie of the Year award. And Ja Morant had his Rookie of the Year award. And Mike Miller congratulated him, but then also said, who wore it better? Which was cute and funny, but not really much of a question. So sorry, Mike. Ja wore it better. And so he's had this darn thing. Last night, finally, we got to it. Ja was on TNT. Actually, I was on with GP when the news was announced. And then you saw Ja being interviewed by Shaq and Charles Barkley.
Ernie Johnson as well.
And Ernie Johnson and Draymond Green. Draymond Green, he went there. He said, I know you got to work on your jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
He said that. He said, I know you got to work on your jump shot, but what do you think? You have to work on.
Anyway, kind of a leading question.
It was just, and behind Ja was quite the layout, quite the spread. Draymond Green was giving him grief for his house. He had there was a basketball court back there and a pool back there. It looked like living was easy here in Memphis, Tennessee, didn't it?
I mean, for John Morant, it did.
Yeah, living it was a nice scene. And then, of course, and then he did a Q&A with the media, and that's where we brought up the fact that there were 100 voters. 99 of those voters voted for Ja Morant as first place as your rookie of the year. One voter, and the name will ultimately come out because when all the awards are in, the NBA releases the complete ballots. So we will find out who's and one voter picked Zion Williamson, which was honestly, it's fine. It's just stupid. I mean, it was stupid, wasn't it? Like, he played 19 games.
Yeah, to me,
59 games versus 19 games, and it wasn't like Ja wasn't superb. Ja was superb, and here was the other funny thing: is that going into the bubble play, the thought was, you know, if he's great in the bubble,
right,
and he lifts that team into the playoffs, it could move him above Ja. Well, we subsequently learned that the NBA wasn't counting bubble play anyway, right? They weren't going to count bubble play, so it didn't ultimately matter. But the truth is, Ja was vastly better in the bubble than Zion was in the bubble.
Yeah.
Vastly. The bubble served to diminish Zion more than it did and raise questions about Zion more than it did to elevate the reputation of Zion. Don't you believe that to be true?
Yeah, I think it's fair because I think in the end,
he was only available for 5 games.
And the bubble to me proved that if you had questions about Zion's weight and his ability to, you know, essentially keep his weight at a spot that's not going to put him in jeopardy of hurting himself further, like that wasn't exactly answered.
He played 5 games and they went 1-4 in those 5 games.
Yeah.
And yes, he looked wildly out of shape. Ja finished it off, of course, with a career high in his final game, 35, and was not invariably tremendous. Like, he wasn't – every single game wasn't a showcase for Ja, but there were showcases along the way. Ja was superb and elevated his case for Rookie of the Year. So it's just stupid that he wasn't unanimous. Don't you think it was stupid that he wasn't unanimous? When we find out, I don't mean who, like a name, we don't even know
right.
Who the voters were. Do you think it is the representative from New Orleans? And if so, is that understandable? Does the representative from New Orleans, like, at his zenith, Zion was tremendous. At his zenith in those 19 games. I still think it's a stupid vote, but.
I actually don't think it's going to be
you don't
someone.
Think it's the person
I don't
think because they don't want to be a homer.
No, what I think it is I think it's going to be like some I'm smarter than basketball. It'll be like if you look at the statistics, Zion for X percent of the time was elite. Like it's going to be someone like that. It's going to be a blowhard.
I see. So he one vote short of unanimity. The others who were unanimous, past Rookie of the Years who were unanimous, Ralph Sampson, David Robinson, Blake Griffin, Damian Lillard, and Kyle Anthony Towns. There's no real correlation between being unanimous and being one of the best Rookie of the Years. I mean, that's a perfectly good group, but it's not the best group, you know?
No, in general, really being a unanimous probably says more about the other rookies in your class.
Yes, that's exactly right. It says being unanimous says much more about the other rookies in the class. And in fairness, this was not a great rookie class. Like Zion was disappointing for Zion. And it was not a great rookie class.
I mean, Kendrick Nunn is probably, well, I guess I think the biggest gripe could be Brandon Clark not being a finalist, but.
Right. Ja then said he wanted the name of the guy because he wanted to slide into his DMs and thank him for not voting for him because it gives him something to prove. Now, in some ways, this is all a little ridiculous, right? Like, the chip on the shoulder narrative can be overdone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I was writing my column, which fully embraces the chip on the shoulder narrative, I was aware that it can be overdone. Now he's going to be mad still going forward, etc. Like, do I believe he would be less motivated if he had been unanimous? Really? Do I really think the course of his career would be different? Do you believe the course of his career would be different if he was unanimous versus not?
No.
Did he need that? No. So in some ways, it is overdone. And yet here we are in the wake of the Jordan series, seeing that every slight does matter, right? Like, that it may seem overdone and kind
of
stupid.
What you call petty, I call motivation.
Exactly. Like, I think it's real. I do believe that in that way, Ja searches for every dude who does, and it makes perfect sense because the Ja story is about an entire basketball industry that didn't believe in him. Right? I mean, that is the essence of the Ja story.
Yeah.
And so for Ja to be motivated by people who don't believe is fully consistent with who Ja is, it appears. And the other thing we see is if you just look at the playoffs, like, you can be a great player, but drive really matters. Like, don't you think that part of Damian Lillard's greatness is his drive to be great?
Yes, I do agree with you on that. I think the same thing holds true for Kawhi.
And don't you think part of the issues with the Sixers is that they have two stars who may or may not have a drive to be great?
I don't know
particularly, but like Joel Embiid, like Charles Barkley's calling him a fat ass, and Ben Simmons won't learn to shoot.
Yeah.
Like, isn't drive to be great a big part of greatness? It's not the most
Rudy Gay, I think, probably had the desire to be great.
Oh, yeah, I could desire to be great all
exactly.
I wanted, and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I do think that is kind of what separates. It's that some people may view it as like being psychotic.
Right, there's aspect to all of this. Like, there is a moment when you and honestly, like, Ja has work to do. He does have work to do. He has to get better at he has to become a better shooter. If he wants to be everything that he can be, he has work to do. So here's the question. Okay, Grizzlies, wonderful. They have their second rookie of the year in team history. The last rookie of the year, Pau Gasol.
Yep.
It's funny because, like, right now, everyone would assume, like, right now, it's easy to say that Ja is going to be better than Pau. I think most Grizzlies fans would say that. Oh, yeah, Ja much better than Pau, right? Which is kind of a crazy thing to say in some ways. Pau is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Like, there's no question. Pau is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
And, Pau had a ridiculously great rookie year. Pau got a second contract. Pau lifted his team into the playoff three straight years. And honestly, it was not a great team around him. He was the best player on that team. He went on to win two championships, I believe. Yes, he was at his best as a second man. Like, that's just true. He was at his best like a second man. But I don't think it's just... I think the biggest difference between them is Ja is wired to be the lead man.
Yeah.
Right?
Ja. And I think Powell could have been the lead man. I think he got frustrated of being the lead man, not having anything around him, and so he was willing to be.
If you were to really talk about a championship-level team, you would have needed three players at the level of Pau Gasol if you don't have someone at the level of Kobe Bryant or whatever. So, but here, there are all kinds of rookie of the years, right?
Yeah.
There are
the Michael Jordans, the Larry Birds.
Busts. Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Michael
Carter-Williams can't get on the floor.
Bust. Tyreek wasn't a bust, but certainly has busted since, right? Emeka Okafor. Not particularly, like, you don't want that to be a career, right?
Yeah, I think injuries are another thing that you could see in a lot of these careers.
Right, so there's not many busts, though. Because we're not talking about number one picks. We're talking about rookies of the year.
Correct.
So there are busts. Then there are players who go on to have, like, really good careers.
Yes, solid NBA guys.
And that's the Mike Miller. Like, Mike Miller was in a bad year, honestly, and he won it, and good for him. He was great. He went on to be sixth man of the year. He played 18 years, he played forever in the league. He won championships. Great shooter, great guy, but never an all-star.
Yeah.
Right?
No, solid NBA player, shooter.
Very,
like, there's
very good.
Clearly, there was a role for him in the league, and that's why he played for as long as he did.
Yeah, and I don't know whether Damon Stoudemire at the end had injuries, and at his best, I don't think he made an All-Star team, though. So Damon Stoudemire, I sort of put in that, you know, good player. I don't know who else.
Yeah, Mike won sixth man of the year twice, but never an All-Star.
Yeah. So then there's that. Then there's the thing that I don't think you can say Ja is, which is the true transcendent generational players. I don't think he is. I don't think anyone would argue that he is LeBron. I don't think anyone would argue that he is Jordan, right? It's LeBron, Jordan, maybe Bird, like that. Like one of the 10 greatest players of all time, right? There's that level of guys in the who've won Rookie of the Year. You don't expect that of him, do you?
Not at this point, no.
No, absolutely not. And then there are a whole bunch of really superb and all-star players.
Yes.
And the question is, where is he? And where would you be happy that he landed in that group? Let me just go through some of them. Right now, Luka, I mean, you'd be thrilled if he were turned into Luka. Luka's becoming transcendent, right?
Yeah, Luka, if you're saying who has, if you're asking me to bet on, you're saying one of these two guys will become
Luka,
transcendent guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's because of a physical aspect.
Would you take Ben Simmons for Ja Morant?
Right now, like I know like people are going to criticize the size difference. Right now, to me, the floor for Ja Morant is a smaller version of what Ben Simmons is. He is an elite. He has elite vision. He is a tremendous passer. But the knock on Simmons is the same knock on Ja.
Can't shoot.
Yeah.
Ja shoots better than Ben Simmons. Malcolm Brogdon, by the way, before that, he's sort of the...
He's in that class
he's a bad
where...
year, whatever else.
Exactly.
Karl Anthony Towns, no. Like, it's been disappointing.
No,
it's been disappointing in the way he has developed since his rookie year. Just atrocious defensively. Andrew Wiggins, that was, again, not great. Michael Carter, whatever. Okay, but how about Dame? How about Dame as... here? How about these guys as examples of players who you would hope he could be?
Yep.
Dame?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. Where do you put... like, you'd be thrilled if he were D. Rose or Chris Paul, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal is to have something in between, like, Lillard, Chris Paul, and Iverson. It's like somewhere in that range.
Iverson is at a higher level at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
He's his own guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Brandon Roy before he got hurt was another one in that group. I honestly think Dame Lillard, which is not good enough. Dame Lillard is not good enough to get to an NBA Finals without really good players around him.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's fair.
He's just not. Like, he's a great player.
He's not carrying that Cleveland team in 07 to the Finals.
And it turns out that Chris Paul isn't either.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't.
Exactly. And he's had some pretty good teams around him.
But you'd be thrilled if he turned out to be as good as they had to have the career that Chris Paul has had.
That means the Grizzlies would be significant for 10 years.
How about this one? How about Blake Griffin? How about Jason Kidd?
Griffin is an interesting case.
How about Chris Webber?
I mean, Webber, that's the thing. We don't remember
David Robinson.
But, like, with Webber and the Kings team, like, they were the second-best team in the NBA. They didn't get to the finals because the Lakers were in there.
Well, Blake Griffin was awesome. I know people don't like him, but Blake Griffin was
injury also matters there.
And then in the end position, like, the NBA evolved around. I think, to me, like, he's not – I don't mean Dame Lillard as a
– as a prototype. As a, you as mean a, in terms
not
of
stylistically
production.
Like Dame Lillard at all. But in the end, now how many – of course, Dame hasn't made a whole lot of all-star teams, has he? Like, he was always fighting to get on all-star teams. Is he three now?
That's the problem with being a guard in the West.
Is he three? How many has Dame made?
Dame has actually made five. 14, 15, and three straight.
I think you'd have to say you'd take it. Again, stylistically very different. But I think you'd say you have to take it. And then, to me, and I wrote about this in my column, a lot of rookie of the years in small markets end up playing somewhere else. Uh-huh. Like Chris Paul is in New Orleans, great, 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 and then he forces a trade to LA. right? Kevin Durant's in Oklahoma City. Great, 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 great. Then he ends up going to Golden State. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with, you know, it feels like Luka can stay in Dallas forever. Kyrie starts.
Not really sure Dallas is.
Kyrie, where do you put him with Kyrie? Would you take Kyrie? He's so weird that it's hard to, like.
If you told me John Morant becomes the type of offensive player that Kyrie
Well, he's not going to be the type, again.
I know, but I'm saying, like, he is.
The force, but Kyrie doesn't feel like we've seen him. He's not good enough to be the best player on a championship-level team. We know that. We've seen it.
No, but if you put Kyrie with. I mean, that's the thing that makes it interesting. Like, Kyrie and Durant is kind of a. Is kind of like an experiment of what would it be with John Jaren at the high level.
But the larger point, Vince Carter's another one. Vince Carter in Toronto ended up, you know, forces his way out of Toronto.
Yeah.
So the key is, and Powell, like when he got his second contract, people thought Powell was going to be here forever. They were going to build around Powell. Powell was the guy. And the next thing you know, the team dips and they end up dealing him. He has to go somewhere else to win his titles.
Yeah.
The challenge for this front office, and listen, the front office has been magnificent since they started. But the challenge for the front office is, and I understand Jai is wired, I think, to be a Memphis guy. Like, you could see that last night. He was going to go celebrate with his infant daughter. But the challenge for the front office is to put enough pieces around him that he can do whatever he's going to do like other past rookies of the year, like Tim Duncan here.
Yeah.
Didn't have to win as many titles, but like he can be that. He can be the rookie of the year who stayed where he was to do the things that he was ultimately destined to do. Triumph Bank is my bank. It should be your bank. I was talking to yet another person yesterday who was dissatisfied with their bank. It's funny how it works. At a time of crisis, you can tell who has your back. And for me, that has been Triumph Bank. I did not realize when Triumph came on board that banking could be different until I literally walked into the office and I didn't ask. I just the woman who was helping me, Holly Bronson, said, "Okay, and here's my cell phone number. Put this in your phone." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" "No, you know, if you ever have an issue, what? You. This is a bank. This is a bank. If you ever, like, where do you get that? You don't." And we have seen during this pandemic that it matters, that this stuff matters, that it matters. Someone I know who's just down the street, a local bank with all the muscle of a powerful regional bank that can do anything you want, but that will treat you like a friend. It is Triumph Bank, invested in the community and in making banking easy for you. When we return, Jason Smith. We have a bazillion things to get to. We'll talk to Jason next, then Chris Harrington, then Fish on Friday. Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When life gives you lemons, 92.9 gives you sports. It's Labor Day weekend with Memphis and the Mid-South's number one sports place, 92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting on the Radio.com app. Download Radio.com free in the App Store and hit the heart on 92.9 FM ESPN. Yeah, it's been a crazy year, but some things are still awesome, like sports. Online at 92.9ESPN.com.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Last month was the deadliest month in the history of Memphis. If you're ready to fight back, protect yourself and your family, come out to the largest gun store and gun range in the Mid-South, Top Gun Memphis. We have a massive selection of ammunition, firearms. Get your permit to carry class done. Take a private shooting lesson. You never shot a gun before? Get a lesson at Top Gun Memphis. Top Gun Memphis is in Bartlett and online at TopGunMemphis.com. TopGunMemphis.com. Sign up for your permit to carry class. TopGunMemphis.com.
This is a special end of summer announcement from Dell. At our Labor Day sale, small businesses can save up to 50% on select business computers with Intel Core processors. We're committed to taking your business to the next level. Give our small business technology advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business with Labor Day savings. Visit Dell.com/business deals or call us at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
In your city, Tennessee, frowns ruled the streets, and boredom could be found everywhere until the Hit Games rolled into town. Now a whole lot of fun is about to hit from the producers of Once Upon an Instant Game, The Good, The Fun, and The Winner, and the Tennessee Lottery comes, the Hit Games gang rides again. Fun is coming to your city. Hit Instant Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You gonna eat the other half of that sandwich?
It's all yours.
Nice. Chips too?
Sure.
Cool. What's up with that Powerball ticket?
I didn't win.
Can I have it?
Why?
To enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing. I could win a free trip to New York City or New Year's Eve hometown party package.
Then no, you can't have it.
Fine. But I'm keeping the sandwich.
Visit TNVIPrewards.com to enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Hi, I'm a 2020 census taker. As I walk around your neighborhood, you'll see my census bag and ID badge. We're coming by to assist anyone who hasn't completed it yet, and we'll be wearing a mask and following local guidelines for everyone's safety. We'll be asking some simple questions that will inform funds for healthcare, education, and more over the next decade. But right now is your chance to make a big difference. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Enjoy Mexican cuisine with today's Perks Deal. Half off $50 to margaritas. From downtown to Atoka, there's a margaritas near you. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You know, I can just see this music being played under the Craftsman at Affordable Blinds as they're making plantation shutters, like right there in Memphis, Tennessee, in the new factory. Can't you see that? Like a whole house in wherever. Like I saw a house in Cordova that was getting plantation shutters throughout, and there they are, the Craftsman working on it. You just know it's going to be better than something that you have to order from China, and that's where everybody else gets theirs. Is from China. It takes weeks and weeks and weeks. At Affordable Blinds, you can get your shutters in 9 days. It's why you should go to 9dayshutters.com. 9dayshutters.com. See what they are all about. Not just plantation shutters, by the way. They do all the window accoutrements, window stuff. I think that's the formal name. Blinds, shades, shutters. Can certainly add some pizzazz to your house. The phone number is 753-5822, 753-5822, or go to 9dayshutters.com. Joined now by Jason Smith. Jason Smith is half of Jason and John every single day from 11 to 2. That's when I'll be listening to Jason. It was brought to my attention. I'm not even sure I was aware of this. I was talking about the Mighty Sound of the South earlier, and they will be at the football game tomorrow. Hard to believe that. Tomorrow there will be a football game at the Liberty Bowl. And it was brought to my attention that you were in the TSU band?
No, that is so false.
Okay, good.
I had a roommate. My roommate, Toby, was in the band.
Okay.
He played trombone, and yes, we roomed together. And I could speak of the aristocrat of bands, which is what TSU is.
There
I,
you
could,
go.
I had a little bit of inside knowledge.
Okay.
Because my roommate was a band.
I didn't think you played. I thought I would have known that. Jeffrey said, you know.
That stopped at Snowden about the seventh grade. I tried the sax, went to AMRO, got the plenty of Memphians know that story.
Yeah.
You get the rental and it didn't go very far. It didn't go very far. I was done. Mr. Holcomb was our band teacher, director.
At the aristocrat of bands there, like, it is, I'll be honest. So I was in the band in high school, and like, it was not a cool thing to be. In the band in my particular high school was not a cool thing to be at all. It was a dorky thing to be band. It is terrible, terrible. It's a scar. It's a burden that I've carried my whole life. But at TSU, cooler to be in the band or be on the football team?
Ooh, good one. I'd say the band, because the football team could be bad every year, right? And you walk around campus. Sometimes guys wouldn't know who you are. Sometimes guys didn't care as football up at TSU. Now they've had some good years, but they've also had some very lean years up there. But the band every year was literally, even if the football team was bad, was the star of the show when you went down in the hole. And that's where the stadium was at TSU. It's called the Hole. And no matter if TSU's losing the game or not, at halftime you knew you're going to have a monster performance by the band. The way that university is built, that band coming out of the hole, the sound, man, it goes all over the campus. And so that more so, and especially when the football team is bad, is the star of TSU. There's no question about it. I mean, that was the thing. And so having that, having a roommate that was in it, and really what opened my eyes was how they were working. I've said this before. They were working harder than the football team, Jeff. Like what the aristocrat of bands, at least, and a bunch of you'll see from historically black colleges, Florida A&M's one of them, FAMU, that puts in a ton of work. But brother, they are out there before sunup, and it's not just getting the notes right, Jeff. Right? It's hitting the moves on time, like you're the whole you know this deal. Like,
well,
the
I wasn't. Bands, let's be honest. I wasn't hitting moves.
No, but you know about the deal here. I mean, you're the representative for Memphis's band.
So. Is there, by the way, does every HBCU claim to have the best, or is there some, like, in college football, like, we know Alabama's like Alabama, right? And we know that Clemson is Clemson. And is there general, or is it just like everyone, like, does Jackson State versus Tennessee State versus FAMU versus, are they all claim to be the best, or
want,
do we all secretly know? Do we know who's really best? Do we know?
I think, a lot of times, back in my day, for the short time I was at TSU, FAMU would march like between 400 and 600 folks. And so because they had so many out there, they would literally blow you out of the stadium. But it was more like I learned from my roommate, man. It was more to it than just being loud. It was the moves. It was, it was sort of how you mixed that in with the song. Then it was your set. It was what you were playing. Do you have the most recent stuff? Are you playing stuff that you played for the last 5 years for most of your set? And so that all goes into it. I think all of those schools, man, like to believe in any given year they can be the best. But, dude, back in my time, because they could blow you off the field and because they were good, as much as I loved the aristocratic band, man, FAMU was the ish back then, and still is. But they're, dude, typically there's a ranking of this, Jeff. You can check it. I don't have it in front of me, but like there's a ranking every year of the historically black colleges and their bands in terms of where each one ranks each year. I mean, that's how closely folks keep up with this, and that's how much pride goes into it.
Ja Morant wins Rookie of the Year last night. Obviously, he won it over the course of a spectacular year. I did an interview with someone yesterday, and they asked me what he means, like what the arrival of Ja Morant means. What does to this city, to the station, honestly, to the franchise, what does Ja Morant mean?
Well, I think we're all hoping this is the case, is the chance to have somebody that the league recognizes as a star and possibly, you know, we've had folks on that believe he can be a 10-time All-Star. You know, not just that, but what Memphis can accomplish with a guy like that, because it takes a guy like that to win titles these days. And what we know now is it usually takes more than one. Like, you need a couple of them. But what Ja has shown, I was talking about this with Jeffrey yesterday, clearly in his first year, he wants it. Like, he wants, right? I think even if you compare him to guys that are proven like Giannis, you see him at the end of games, he wants it. You saw his, you know, he was among the league's best this year, forget rookies, just in terms of fourth quarter guys. You know, guys who brought in the fourth quarter scoring-wise. And so that, to me, is a guy who you've got your leader. And so, you know, kind of knowing that in the first season, you know, that you're ahead of the game. Now, what it's going to in turn do, though, is raise expectations earlier. So now, as well as that front office has done, obviously, to put Memphis in this place and ahead of the curve, the pressure now grows with the expectations. And so now it's on them to not have, as you and I were talking about yesterday with John, not have an Anthony Davis situation where there's pressure on you now to make the right moves. And sure, I mean, it's not like every one of them's got to be a stroke of genius, so you're going to have to hit every time because you're still super young here. But the point is that now the pressure's on to put the right pieces around him. And so here's the great benefit of that for Grizzlies fans. They know that, right? That front office knows it's got a star now that the rest of the league recognizes. And so you figure you're on the fast course to trying to get there. Now you want to build it right. You don't want to have the right foundation and then build a rickety house on it. But you got to know that front office, which has done so well so far, feels that pressure now. And for fans, it's going to be a good thing because you figure they're not going to sit around year after year trying to figure out if what they've got is enough. They're going to continue to make moves. Now they're getting to a point where they've got a bunch of flexibility. And so what it means is really this chance to dream big again. Because as much as we love grit and grind, I don't know how many of us thought realistically, maybe at its height, right, and maybe with a couple of key injuries to other teams, but I don't know how many of us realistically thought you could win an NBA title. With Ja Morant, you can dream big. It'll be on that front office again to sort of put that together with these fans dreaming as big as they are. And Memphis deserves that. You know, Memphis deserves this chance to dream big with its professional franchise. And Ja's going to give them that chance. I like, quite frankly, I know some people roll their eyes at it, the one vote, and Ja saying, and more so people outside of Memphis, Ja saying, oh, that's going to motivate me not getting 100. But, dude, I'd rather have it that way for him because we've seen the way this kid is wired, the way Ja Morant is wired in terms of looking for that. And a lot of the great ones are that way, looking for any small bit of motivation. And when we look back on history, we'll probably say, look, it probably did motivate him. I mean, that's the way he's wired. So I'll take it the way it happened.
Yeah, I guess my view on that is that I don't think the fact that he has got 99 of 100 versus 100 of 100 will make any difference in his career, right? I don't think. But I think the fact that he is driven to find motivation everywhere will make a difference in his career. That bent of personality that made – yes, you can roll your eyes at that thing last night. It can be overdone and whatever else. But it's simply true that some people, when they reach a certain level of success – are satisfied with that level of success. And some people are driven, and, you know, obviously we saw this with the Jordan doc. Some people are driven to be great. And you can roll your eyes a dozen different times during that Jordan documentary at the slights that he found various places. But
Karl Malone getting MVP that year, you know, and that guy, and I point to, you know, Tom Brady was the one, and listen, he's won at a level way higher and maybe higher than Ja, clearly higher than Ja probably. But Tom, too, because of maybe how overlooked he was in terms of a prospect, but he was that guy that we've rolled our eyes year after year at him about saying, you know, I guess they think, you know, back with the Patriots, we're slipping. But I just wonder if he was – see, Jordan was drafted, you know, could have been drafted first, quite frankly. But the expectations were always there. Tom had to kind of grow to that. And I guess maybe Mike is the better comparison for Ja, but the eye rolling – and I guess maybe it's me being the Mike fan – I didn't roll my eyes as much, but I can sit with Tom Brady, my partner across the way, John Martin. Every time he would bring something, oh, we're not the favorite. You guys are, you know, we would roll our eyes at that. And I saw a little bit of that on Twitter again from outside of Memphis on John. again, Tom was that overlooked guy, at least coming up as a prospect, more so like Ja. But I guess by the time it was draft time, Ja ended up more like Jordan. But to that point, yes, Jeff, the greats always look for that motivation, and clearly it's what's helped Ja get to where he is. And what we all feel like is going to help him get to, you know, the next couple of levels. Well, and that's the fun part, is seeing how high it can go. But it's absolutely a part of him, and I believe it absolutely drives him, the player, to, no question. Whether it's 99 or 100 right now, yes. Does he get a jump shot off of that? No. But is he going to continue to be that driven guy because he's constantly looking for this stuff? I just think it's him. That's what we've learned about him. It's the way he rolls.
Right. That's exactly it. It's that disposition to get better that will
which will change
the trajectory.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that struck me about the whole deal was the joy that other people take in Ja's success. We saw Jaren Jackson Jr., if you saw on social media yesterday, you know, thrilled by this. Obviously, Taylor Jenkins, thrilled by this. We saw it at the end, after his first triple-double, when he walks into the locker room at Washington and his teammates mob him. I don't think you can fake that. In other words, there are some people, when they're successful, they're like, oh, that's great. He's wonderful. We really respect him. And there's other people who you might actually kind of resent a little bit when they're successful. What really strikes me is everybody is happy for Ja. And that speaks to Ja, it seems to me. You know, that they are as thrilled or more thrilled for him than he is for himself, which I think says a lot about the kind of dude he is.
Well, one of it's that he's, as Ja says, and a lot of young folks say, he's gotten out of the mud, right? He was never crowned. I just saw one tweet about how many scholarships he had at a time in the same state where Zion Williamson's got like 99 plus. Ja had zero, and you look how the voting's gone. But it's his story. That's what I'm trying to say, Jeff, is it's his story and the way he's earned it that we all can. It's hard to root against that when you got an underdog story, basically, a guy who's come out of, I mean, 4, 5, 6 years ago, come out of nowhere and wasn't thought very highly of. Maybe he can be a player, but certainly not at a high level. And that's certainly the way he was scouted in terms of a college prospect. And so it's that part first. But then it's what, when you get him, it's what you see once you do. It's not a guy who then has earned it out, gotten it out of the mud, right? But now he's all high and mighty. He thinks he's the ish, all that stuff sort of that you can feel in locker rooms when a guy gets there. He's a worker bee. I mean, he's gotten to a point where he's got this superstar potential, but in terms of the way he rolls, he's a worker bee, not singularly greater than anybody else on the team, but in his actions showing, dude, I'm a leader. And that's the thing about it. It's more, Jeff, I think when you earning that respect is more about your actions than what you say. And so look at a Kyrie Irving who's still trying to figure out, right, how to lead, how to be the best player on a good team like a Boston and lead it the right way. Didn't work out for him there. We've still got those questions about him. Ja does it more by the actions, and I think in that way, I mean, we saw it. Like, I remember distinctly, and this is, you know, Chris gets everything right just about with the Grizzlies, but I remember Harrington early on with Ja saying, this is still Jaren's team. And our whole point was, well, you know, if this guy's going to have this much usage, there's a good chance here it's going to be Ja's. And listen, it wasn't up to us to decide as media whose team it's going to be. We literally saw it play out very early on with, again, Ja's actions, the way he wanted to guard Kyrie Irving at the end of a game, right? The way how up he got to the block there. And so for the Jarens and everybody else that have watched that, you can't do anything but fall in line. You realize this guy's going to drive the bus. And if we're going to get to our greatest height, you know, I want to sit there on the bus with him and let him drive it. That takes some amount of swallowing of pride, first of all, but I think it says too a lot about the other guy in the room and sort of the aura of him. And that's, dude, Ja's gotten out of the mud, and he still acts like he's still working that hard, like he's this, you know, disrespected prospect still to this day. And so hopefully that continues, right? And you don't get the sense it will change. We just talked about what motivates him, but I think it's those actions, Jeff, and the way he carries himself that ultimately, you know, earns the respect. And to get it that quickly, again, the way he's done it, just says a lot about the way he carries himself.
It's interesting what you said about Kyrie, because one of the things we did in the open was try to think of other Rookie of the Years, and would you take what they ultimately did as, you know, if you could lock it
sure.
in, that's what. And it's interesting because, like, with Dame, I think you'd take his individual excellence, but you wouldn't take what Portland has done as a team. Like, we hope The expectation is that the Grizzlies will do more than that Portland head team, I think. Maybe that's crazy. Like, they weren't they in the finals? Were they in the finals last year? Were they in the Western Conference finals last year?
Western Conference finals, yeah. Yes.
Like, would you take – you'd clearly take, I think, Dame's level of achievement as for Ja. I don't know that you'd take what Portland as a team has achieved. Of course, they're not done achieving. But on to Kyrie, you would take his gifts and his production – but
one
if
of the best one-on-one players in the league.
But you wouldn't take Kyrie. Like, you don't want him to be.
No.
Because he's not bigger than him. He doesn't contribute. It doesn't feel like he contributes to the whole.
I want him to be more Dame than Kyrie. I would take, if I'm asking, if I'm saying what I want from Ja in terms of the player, in terms of even if you include the production, I'm still taking Dame because you see it. Much in the same way, like we were just talking about, the leader that Ja is, Dame is that. He's earned it. It isn't Dame's fault to me that they haven't quite gotten there. It's more so for me, and I may be on an island here, but it's the way Portland's built. You don't want another. I love McCollum to death, right? He's a great player. He's gotten it out of the mud. Speaking of those guys, much like Dame, we're talking about these small school guys that have done it. But it's the way that backcourt's built in terms of what they can do defensively that I think is one of the things that will always hold them back, at least the way they're currently constructed. It's not Dame. Kyrie right now cannot lead. As the main guy, he has not shown yet that he can lead. He's shown he can be a 1B. And I'm sorry for the folks that love him to death, and he hit a big shot with Cleveland, helped them win one. But for me, he is 1B. That's all he's shown to this point. I clearly can see, we all can see, a blind man could see that Dame is 1A. And again, if you put him in the right situation with a roster constructed the right way, he's leading a guy, you know, leading guys to a title with the sort of respect that I think a point guard who's at that level has to have. Kyrie has not earned. Kyrie had a team full of studs and couldn't lead it. It was more, to go back to the point I was making, he would try to say the right things, right? And it always came off, it didn't come off as a leader. And again, Ja is going to have to at times be vocal. It's one of the things he talked about that he's got to learn, right, to be more vocal. But it's more about his actions right now, and he's leading that way. And you can get it done that way. Again, you've got to be vocal, but you can see the balance with him. So give me the leader, not to mention, I mean, the guy hit 35, 36-footers. It's not like he's, you know, compared to Kyrie, it's not like he's just a dog here. You put the production in the leader that Dame is, that's what I want out of Ja Morant, more that leader than Kyrie. Kyrie's still got to prove that he can be 1A, that he can lead. I think we've seen through our first season with Ja feeling pretty good about his chances to do this for a long time as the 1A.
You saw that again with Kyrie just heading into the bubble, right? Like he wants to be a leader, but is not. And
he just hasn't figured it out. And I'm not rooting against him, and I'm not saying it's in it. He just can't do it, period. But, man, he is just right now he thinks it's more about words, and much of the time it ends up rubbing his teammates the wrong way, or he's gone out on this limb and again, or saying one thing, but his actions are saying something else, and he just hasn't found his way yet in terms of that. I'm not rooting against him, but you can already see these signs in Ja, and we've still got these questions with Kyrie, and hell, he's got a championship.
Jason, thank you very much. We will be talking to you. I will be listening to you from 11 until 2 today. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Have a great weekend.
That is great, Jason Smith, every single day from 11 until 2. All right, would you take the team accomplishments that Portland has accomplished over as a team for Ja for the next 10 years?
Yeah.
I mean, they won finals.
Yeah.
Is that what they got?
That would match the franchise
the core four. But isn't the hope, maybe I'm crazy, isn't the hope for more than what the core four did?
Sure, but if you're telling me right now that they get what Portland has had for the last 7-8 years, yeah, I'm taking it.
Well, it's interesting. If you were to ask me, do I think the Grizzlies will do better than to do better essentially means either multiple conference finals or getting to an NBA finals.
Right.
Right. Do I think that Ja and the Grizzlies will do that? No. I mean, just the odds are no, right?
Right.
Like, for any building team, like, they're a very good building team, but so's Dallas, you know? Like,
sure.
And Golden State's not going away, and the Lakers aren't going away, and the Clippers, one of the richest men, they're not going away. And so the odds are no. You probably should take what Portland has done.
Right.
But I don't know that I would. Like, I don't want to take the ceiling off. I don't want to take the ceiling off. That's all. I want the chance to do more. So I don't think I would lock it in and trade it. I think the future could be. I can see a world where the future is where they accomplish more than Portland does, did, has, right?
Sure.
And I don't want to, if I had to trade it and lock it in, I'd be sacrificing that.
Yeah.
I'd be taking away the floor too.
Yeah. You have hope.
I'm a little giddy right now. Yeah. Maybe it's because I'm getting up every single 2 hours. You know the worst thing about tube feeding a puppy every 2 hours?
You're up every 2 hours?
It's every 2 hours.
Yes.
Literally every 2 hours, I am now tube feeding this puppy. You know how that works? You take some, because the mother doesn't have enough milk.
Right.
That's the issue. The mother doesn't have enough milk, or doesn't have any milk, really, because it's just one puppy. You don't need much milk for one puppy. And so you take the formula, you put it in a syringe, then there's a tube, like really, really, really thin tube. And you take that tube, and you just slide it into the puppy's throat, down all the way into the stomach, not into the lungs. That would be bad.
Right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.